Good morning, everyone. I'm so glad to hear that many of you were able to join us. I just want to express my deepest gratitude that we have found a way to be together. And I feel such gratitude for Alan and for Susanna for creating this community, this Sangha, right, so that we can care for one another, and we can find the reliable forms of support that we most need when we're going through extraordinary times, and this certainly is an extraordinary time. And so this morning, I was thinking about what we might all be experiencing. And I'm aware that each one of us brings something very unique to this moment. Right? This is one of the real challenges of a shocking experience or an extraordinary experience is that it does mobilize all prior experiences that were highly unexpected. And so each one of us is having a truly unique experience and one that connects us to countless others. And so I want to just acknowledge the intensity of going through something that activates prior experiences of shock or loss or overwhelm. Yeah, and that it can stir such a broad spectrum of feelings, right? I mean, perhaps you've noticed every feeling under the sun. I have noticed moments of real sadness and concern, very tender feelings. I've also had moments of explosive laughter when I think about the impossibility of trying to scrub each banana and staring at a can of garbanzo beans and wondering what's on it, right? I mean, we go through so much emotionally during these times. And so I am joining you if you have been navigating quite a spectrum of feelings. And as we do so, you might have been wondering what resources you can count on, what's going to be there for you. And we have this tradition, this Buddhist tradition that really wants to underscore that there are reliable resources even in times of acute distress. Even in times of unexpected loss. And we are losing the things that we had been counting on, right? Normally, you're in a very specific physical space with Alan and Susanna, and you're hugging each other, and you're shaking people's hands, and you're having tea together. And that's suddenly changed. And perhaps you're not in contact in the way you normally are with people who are extremely important to you. And so this time is ushering in both sudden change and experiences of loss. And so it stirs the question, what can we count on? Right? What are the reliable resources? In the Buddhist tradition, as you've been exploring, the most reliable, the most precious resource we have is our mind. And there's a part of me that wants to giggle as I say it, because I'm aware of how challenging it can be to work with the mind when we're going through something extraordinary, right? The mind can seem to do its own thing. Right, it can become obsessional. Again, right? And we think about our rituals now, our rituals of protection. But if we work carefully with the mind, right, if we nurture it, if we, and basically if we love the mind the same way you have loved the people who are most cherished, then we can really care for it. We can take care of it so that it has the capacity to hold us as we're going through this. And so as a way to begin this exploration of the mind, I wanted to read you a verse. This comes from the Dhammapada, which is ancient sayings, some of the original sayings of the historical Buddha. It comes from the Pali Canon. And this is on the chapter of mind, where it says, "Let the wise one watch over the mind, so hard to perceive, so artful, alighting where it wishes. A watchfully protected mind brings happiness. The mind travels afar, acts alone, is incorporeal, haunts a cave," meaning it seems to be of the body. "Those who work with it skillfully will escape the bonds of suffering." And so in this powerful verse, it's basically reminding us that we have the potential to take care of our minds, right? And in this way, it can become our most precious resource. So part of the reason why we do all of this mindfulness practice of just settling the awareness, letting the mind rest on the breath, is so that in times of crisis or in times of sudden, unexpected experience, we know how to work with the mind, right? And we can be very gentle with it, the same way we gently bring the mind to the breath. Now, the idea is not just to settle the mind, but to bring it somewhere so that we can work with it in a way that generates healing. Because the mind does seem to need an object of focus. It's just that in times of crisis, the object of focus is often anxiety, right, or vigilance, right, which is why it can be very tempting to let the mind go to CNN or MSNBC, right, to keep checking the updates. That becomes our object of focus. And listen, if that's helping you, I'm all for it, because we need a sense of clarity about what's happening. But we can also just notice what happens to the mind in terms of where we're bringing it, right? Now, often, when we're bringing it to a place of vigilance, what's happening is that we're nurturing a feeling of protective contraction. There's often an unconscious contraction against what's happening, against reality. And in the Tibetan tradition, there's a term called chenpa, shenpa, S-H-E-N-P-A. And chenpa, which translates approximately as attachment, it's a process of getting hooked into a protective state. And the protective state will generate feelings of contraction. Again, they're usually unconscious contraction against the truth of our full and multi-layered experience. And from a Buddhist perspective, it is that contracting that generates the worst suffering. Yeah. Now, I'm bringing all of this up because, of course, most of us are contracting against reality because the reality seems so out of control. And I mean, it's so pervasive. And of course, we're being encouraged now to be vigilant about our own personal well-being, which is why we're all self-isolating, right? We're hanging out in our PJs. I wish you could see my outfit right now. I think you'd really have a good laugh. We're hanging out. We're by ourselves. Maybe you're with one other person or your family, but we are practicing a quality of contracting against, right, against illness, yeah, disease. And so we're really, we're being challenged spiritually to take the actions we need to take for safety, while also allowing that mental experience of contraction to soften. Yeah. Because when the mind starts to contract, what typically happens is that we seal ourselves off, right? There's an effort almost to generate a quality of a membrane, right? A psychic membrane. And in a way, it's an interesting symbol for what we're all needing, a kind of psychic hazmat suit. But the truth is, right, we are in connection mentally. We are in connection in heart and mind. Right? We really are of a shared mind. Yeah. And so when we can allow that contraction, that mental hazmat suit to begin to first notice it, that's always the first step. And then to see slowly, what's it like to allow the mind to open a little bit to this reality. We're going through this experience where there's this pervasive virus that is far-reaching, hard to control, generating a great deal of pain and suffering of all sorts. What's it like simply to notice that with a softening and an opening of mind and heart? And when you do so, I notice some very tender feeling. That you might notice that it puts you in touch with feelings of vulnerability. Yeah. And the vulnerability might then put you in touch with prior moments of vulnerability. And so suddenly there's a feeling that the mind and the heart has a lot to hold. Right? It's a lot to hold. And so there might be a protective part of you that says it's better to contract against it. Right? It's better to scrub the banana. I'm not suggesting you shouldn't, right? But it's better to reconnect with a protective state, a contracted state. But there might be another way. And in the Buddha Dharma, we're encouraged just to notice that protective response, the shenpa, the attachment to personal well-being that might leave us a little too sealed off from others. And then slowly, patiently, because it's important to be patient with ourselves as we're going through this, see if that protective impulse can begin to settle. And you can even just appeal to the body to help you with that process of softening the belly. Right, releasing the tension in the jaw. And then as you drop into the heart, again, you are likely to reconnect with some very tender feelings. Now, again, sometimes when we do that, it can stir the fear that there's too much there to feel. Right? Because we are doing a lot of affective digesting right now. Right? We are experiencing a lot of emotional arisings, our own and other people's. Right? You might personally be feeling pretty okay, pretty steady. But probably you know others who are feeling extremely distressed, worried. And so there's that question of how much your mind and your heart can hold. But in the teachings of the Buddha, what we find is profound reassurance that actually our minds are extraordinarily spacious, far more spacious than we know. And so the question is how to, again, release the protective contracting so that the mind and the heart starts to feel a little roomier, that it can hold more of our own difficult feelings as well as other people's. But with a feeling of containment, right, this is often the challenge, is to both allow the mind to be as spacious as it naturally is, but with a feeling that it's supported, right? It's not going to get done in. It's not going to enter into a psychic free fall if it takes in too much. And so sometimes I like to visualize an inner holding environment. And you can use your own powers of imagination to cultivate that sense of perhaps loving spiritual mentors who are with you internally deep in the heart center. Or again, you can work with a sense of almost a membrane, a psychic membrane that is supple but reliable. Yeah, supple but reliable. Because the more we allow for that suppleness, the more we're going to be able to break through feelings of isolation. And this is, it's so important right now. Right, where so many of us are feeling extremely isolated. And some of you live alone. Many of us, right? Some of you have family members who are far away. Right? And so the feelings of disconnection can easily get stirred. But when we help the mind feel that sense of opening, right, that spaciousness, then often what happens is there's a deepening, visceral, trustworthy feeling of connection to others. Yeah. Connection, right, of mind and heart that is totally reliable. It is there for us. And so when we're practicing, it's helpful to know, right? We're not just trying to control the breath, right? And often it can seem that that's what's happening when embarking on a spiritual practice, or we're trying to just relax. But really what we're trying to do is soften that protective contraction against reality, because sometimes, as we're finding now, reality can be extraordinarily surprising, so that the mind stays more supple. The mind can actually open to reality and connect deeply in a visceral way with the sense that we are part of a human family. Right? We are in connection in the most profound, reliable way. And when we access that feeling of connection, again, it's not conceptual, it's really a visceral, body-based experience, then we have the right kind of protection against the illusion of isolation. Yeah. I've noticed as I go through this time with you, there's something very comforting about visualizing all of my neighbors. I can actually see some of my neighbors across the street. I can see their TVs, the light from their TVs. And at night, I can see them turning on the lights. Perhaps you're having this experience too. And there's really a feeling of community that we are in this together, right? We are in our homes trying to navigate this pandemic. And then, of course, I think of our beautiful Italian brothers and sisters going to their balconies and singing. For those of you who have not seen those images, it's just so beautiful, right? To imagine really caring for one another and connecting any way we can. But there's a sense in isolation of knowing I have so much company. I have so much company, so many friends, countless friends throughout this world who are going through this. Yeah. And sometimes there's a sense of that feeling of connection holding the worry. It's almost, again, like a large, beautiful, very gentle hand, right, that's holding the worry. It's holding the anxiety. It's holding the uncertainty. It's holding the confusion, right? Because there's a tremendous amount of confusion right now. But that deeper feeling of interbeing, of connection, of being part of the human family is there to hold all those other arisings, all those other feelings that are definitely getting stirred, very active right now. And so I invite you with most genuine love, because it's very moving to me that we're finding a way, right, to practice together, that as you go through this, to know that you have your practice, right, that every day, as many times as you like, you can appeal to that deepest layer of your mind and heart to support you in feeling more in connection with countless other beings. And to visualize the Sangha being there with you, and to visualize Alan and Susanna, to visualize your spiritual friends, really to use the powers of your imagination to evoke that sense of interbeing, that sense of going through this together, because truthfully we are. And to allow the practice to help you as your most reliable resource. Your mind can be there for you. And we will continue coming together to support one another, to offer sustenance, to offer compassion and wisdom, so that we can find our way through. So, in these last few moments, again, I want to express my deepest appreciation, my gratitude. It's a heartfelt gratitude for having known you, having been in the same room with many of you, and for having this spiritual tradition that we're all tapping into together. And I want you to know that I am here for you in any way I can be, with love and with determination, right? Because we will gather our powers of determination and patience and wisdom. And so I'm sending you deepest blessings of well-being and safety and ease, and so look forward to being with you again. Thank you.